All right. Good morning, everyone. How are y'all doing? Woo! All right. Man, I'm excited about today's message. We're going to jump right in. I just want to say a special welcome to everybody that's online. I'm so glad you guys are with us virtually, and thank you for joining in and tuning in to worship service today. But for everybody else and for everybody online, man, I want to encourage you to go on to our app or to our by using your phone's camera. You can check that QR code. It'll scan it and take you right to the notes for today. And you can fill those in and save them and keep records of everything that we talked about today. So a lot of stuff going on, man, in the life of our church. Man, I'm excited about the ministries that we're doing. I want to say a quick word. I don't know if Noah talked about it, but right after the service, we're going to have a special meeting for parents of kids who are going to be involved in the Central Academy. So make sure you stick around for that. And, man, school starts tomorrow. Amen. I'm excited. I'm excited for school starting and some getting back to maybe some normal way of life a little bit. And I'm glad that our kids are getting to go back to school because, man, they need it bad around my house. We do too, right? We need the kids to go to school just for a little bit. So I'm excited about it. But hey, the last several weeks we've been talking about who we are as a church, and we've been talking about the series called We Are. And you just saw a video about it. But a little recap here: the very first week we talked about how we are His kids. We are God's kids, and that's an upward look, kind of a situation, a relationship is an upward look. And then two weeks ago we talked about how we are ambassadors for Christ. We are ambassadors, and that's more of an outward look, how we interact with people, what our relationship is like with people that aren't believers in Christ. What is our motivation? What is our desire? Are we reaching out to those people? And then last week we talked about how we are called to courage, and that's more of an inward look of what is your life all about? How are you living your life? What is your motivation? And today we're going to take a look, kind of a sideways look this morning. Before we do that, let me ask you this question. Do you remember your favorite family vacation? Just think about it. What was your favorite family vacation? Maybe it was recently. Maybe you have to go way, way back to remember the good old days, that one moment in time. And for me, my favorite family vacation growing up was a trip that my family took to San Diego. And for all the hundreds and hundreds of soccer trips we took and tournaments we went to, we always drove. But this one time we flew from Texas all the way to California, to the West Coast. We went to San Diego, and man, it was awesome. So we had the tournament, and it was a lot of fun. But man, we went to the beach. We went to Disneyland. We just did all the sights. It was awesome. And you know, you can still smell things, like, from a distant long time ago. Well, San Diego, I don't know why, but it smelled like diapers. It just smelled like diapers the whole time we were there. It was crazy. I don't know what was going on, but it smelled like diapers, and I can still smell it. It's terrible. But one of the best parts about the whole trip was we rented a car. We rented a white convertible, and it was awesome. Like, it was the only time we ever did something like that. And we were driving around, and my parents are probably gonna watch this later, but I'm going to throw them under the bus a little bit. As a 16-year-old, my parents let me drive the rental car. And so I got to drive around San Diego, and it was awesome. I had, like, the Hawaiian shirt on and the sunglasses, and it was just cool. Driving around San Diego in a convertible, it was awesome. Side note, one of my friends on the team, his family drove from Texas to San Diego in a Suburban. Their Suburban gets stolen. They don't know where it is. They had to get a rental car and come all the way back to Texas. 6 months later, the authorities found their car in Mexico. It had been stolen, taken over across the border, and was used to smuggle drugs back and forth. And so they were, you know, had all these compartments in there, and it was crazy. They actually took the Suburban back and drove it around in Texas for a while. It was crazy, but I don't know why I told that story, but it's important. No, it's not important, but I thought it was kind of cool just to think about that. But man, some of us, we have great memories of family vacations. We have great memories of our families. Some of us have not so great memories of our families. But regardless, families are important. And today in 1 Peter chapter 4, we're going to learn that we are in the family. So if you're taking notes, man, that's the main topic for today. We are in the family. And I just want to start in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7. Here's what it says. Peter says, "The end of the world is coming soon. Therefore, be earnest and disciplined in your prayers." Man, verse 7, Peter, he clarifies the urgency for us, the situation, and kind of sets us up for the rest of today's message that, man, the time is short. Listen up and pay attention. It's just like football when you have a two-minute warning, right? There's an urgency there like no other time in the game. You know how it is when your team is on the field, there's only 2 minutes left, your team is totally focused on the task at hand. Man, they don't care about anything. The 11 guys on the offense, man, they are trying to go and win the game and to score, and they don't care what's going on. They don't care if they're tired. They don't care if they're thirsty. They don't care if the other team player talks about their mama. They don't care at all, right? Because their purpose is to go and to score. Man, I always feel really sorry for those linemen, right? When there's a long pass play and the clock is just ticking down. You're like, go, 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 hurry up. And they're having to run like 50 yards down there and get set to spike the ball, like to make the last second kick. Man, I love the two-minute warning, the last part of the game, because there is this sense of urgency. And that's what Peter is talking to us about. He's saying that we don't know how much time is left. And so as a church, we need to major on the majors. We need to focus on what is most important. But you know, we don't always do that. The church, not just talking about our church, but church in general, we don't always focus on the most important things. And sometimes we can just get caught up in the silliest things. Right? Some churches get caught up on the color of the carpet. And they have business meetings and talking about it, and there's fights and over the color of the carpet. I mean, something as silly as that. Or the difference between having pews or having chairs in the worship center. And like, which one is more holy and which one is in the Bible? I don't know. It doesn't matter. Like, in the Bible, they didn't have pews or chairs. They're probably sitting on the floor. So it doesn't really matter. But we get caught up in the silliest things. Maybe we get caught up, even today, the church gets caught up in worship styles. Which worship style should we have? And some churches even get caught up on the color of the roof, right? We know what the best color of the roof is, don't we? Green, right? Central Baptist Church knows that the holy color for a church roof is green. If you're watching, you have no idea what we're talking about. Our roof is massive and it's green. You can probably see it from space. We have this huge green roof. So Peter goes on, and after saying that, man, there is this sense of urgency. Life is short. He goes on and he teaches us what it means to be in God's family. So we're going to look at that. Verse 8. Says this, "Most important of all, continue to show deep love for each other, for love covers a multitude of sins." And so we are in the family. We're in God's family when, number one, we are marked by forgiving love. We're marked by forgiving love. We're to show deep love for each other. Love that is sacrificial and real. We see it in the Bible a lot. In the Old Testament, it teaches about this kind of love. Proverbs 10:12 says, "Hatred stirs up quarrels, but love makes up for all offenses." I mean, the question is, are you going to live your life based on hatred? Or are you going to live your life based off of love? The New Testament also talks about it in several places. And it kind of talks about how we should, as Christians, we should live our lives the way that Christ lived his life. And we should love people the way that Christ loved people and loves us. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the famous passage of love. You heard this, but I want to read this. Here's what it says, starting in verse 4. It says, "Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable, and it keeps no record of being wronged." You get that? It keeps no record of being wronged. "It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful." And this part at the end is kind of difficult. It says, "and endures through every circumstance." Here's what it's saying. It's saying love doesn't keep score ever. No matter what someone has done to you, no matter what someone has done to someone you love, no matter the circumstance, love doesn't keep score. And God is telling us to love that way. I mean, look back at verse 8. It says, "love covers a multitude of sins." It says it covers, literally saying that the love we're supposed to have for one another should hide our faults, should hide the things that are wrong, should hide our sins. It doesn't say that love removes our sins. The love that we have for each other, it doesn't say it removes it, because only God can remove sins, right? The Bible says that he casts our sins as far as the east is from the west, which is just saying, hey, he casts it for eternity away. The Bible says that God literally, he forgets our sins. But we can't do that. When we think about it, we can't forget our own sins, and we definitely can't forget the sins of others. We remember them, but the Bible says we're supposed to still forgive. We're supposed to cover over people's faults with our love. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 9 goes on and says, cheerfully share your home with those who need a meal or a place to stay. So not only are we supposed to have a forgiving kind of love, but we are in the family when, number two, we are known. When we are known. Look at that in verse 9. Cheerfully share your home with those who need a meal or a place to stay. Here's what it's talking about. It's talking about hospitality. It's talking about us being together, having community, having a strong bond. And I think what Peter is saying is that we need each other. Like, I mean, think about that. Just as simple as that. As believers in Christ, we need one another. We need each other for strength. We need each other for encouragement. If you really look at this verse, there's kind of a context that underlines this. And some of your versions may say a little bit different than the way I just read, talking about hospitality. But it has this concept of traveling. That when a fellow Christian travels to your town, travels to your church, you're supposed to show hospitality to them. And, you know, I was thinking about this, that for all of us, we're kind of on a journey, right? We're all on a journey. But there's a big problem in the middle of our journey, I think, that a lot of us are dealing with, and it's this. It's loneliness. In the journey that we have, a lot of us are really, really lonely. Let me ask this. Do you feel lonely? I mean, do you feel disconnected from fellow believers? Well, maybe the answer is, it's because you're alone. You're alone all the time. And honestly, to be known, it takes courage. Because you have to be vulnerable with people. And I think we live in this culture where we're full of people who are waiting for the next person, the other person, to make the first move when it comes to having a relationship with someone. You know how it is when you're little and you're always waiting for that person that you wanted to date or you liked. You're waiting for them to make the first move. You know, you're always just wait. Man, in the Christian life, when it comes to us being known, to having relationships with one another, godly, loving relationships, man, we can't wait for the other person. So what happens is, it never happens. And Peter is saying, man, the days are short. Time is of the essence. And so we're supposed to put ourselves out there. Man, sometimes you just got to put yourself out there, because being a solo Christian is not the norm. God does not want us to be alone. Because when we live alone, as solo Christians trying to do life on our own, what happens is we become weak, we become ineffective, we become distracted from those who love us. Proverbs 27:17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens a friend. Man, we need that in our lives. My question is, do you have anybody like that? Do you have anybody who is encouraging you? Do you have anybody that is holding you accountable? Someone that's standing next to you when life is going wrong and life is difficult and it's tough to walk through? Do you have someone like that? Because we're not supposed to be alone in this life. We're supposed to be known. You look at the New Testament. The New Testament, most of the letters that are written in the New Testament are not written to an individual. They're written to who? The church, right? They're written to a group of believers. And a lot of the message that is found in these letters is advice on how Christians are supposed to interact with other Christians. How we are supposed to interact with one another. And in fact, the Bible calls us the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is the love chapter. But if you go back just one chapter in chapter 12, we find what Paul describes as kind of the identity of the church. He says, we are the body of Christ. There's a couple of verses here. Verse 12 of 1 Corinthians 12 says, the human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. And then down in verse 26 and 27, he says, if one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. And if one part is honored, all the parts are glad. And all of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. Here's what it's saying. We need each other. And I'll tell you this, if you feel lonely, if you feel like you are not known by people, I'll tell you this, we need you. The church needs you. Let's go on. 1 Peter chapter 4, the next couple verses, verse 10 and 11 says this, God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. So use them well to serve one another. Do you have the gift of speaking? Then speak as though God himself were speaking through you. Do you have the gift of helping others? Then do it with all the strength and energy that God has supplied. Then everything you do will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. All glory and power to him forever and ever. Amen. So number three, finally, when we are in the family, here's what it's saying, that we carry our weight. We carry our weight. Do you ever wonder why we have spiritual gifts? Like, what are the point of spiritual gifts? 1 Corinthians 12:7 says that we are given gifts for the common good. The reason you and I have spiritual gifts, so as when we become believers in Christ, the Holy Spirit gives us certain gifts that he wants us to have for a reason. And for the reason is not so you can make much of yourself, but it's so that you can make much of God and you can bless other people. Specifically, you can bless other believers. You can bless the church. Look back at verse 10. It says, God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. So use them well to serve one another. The reason we have gifts is so that we can benefit other people. And then Peter goes on in verse 11 and he asks two questions. He says, do you have the gift of speaking? Or do you have the gift of helping others? And I was thinking, man, what in the world is he talking about? Because I know that there's a lot more spiritual gifts than just speaking and helping others. In fact, those aren't even spiritual gifts. So what in the world is he even talking about? Well, what he's doing is he's dividing the spiritual gifts that God gives us. He's dividing them into two different categories. Category one, which was speaking gifts, and category two, which is the serving other people gifts. And if you look at all the spiritual gifts that are out there, the Bible talks about that God gives us, we can kind of put those into two different categories. And here's some spiritual gifts here. I found some of them. I'm not sure if these are all of them, but let me just read them off to you real quick. Maybe you know what your spiritual gift is, and here's some categories. Here are the spiritual gifts: leadership, administration, teaching, knowledge, wisdom, prophecy, discernment, exhortation, shepherding, faith, evangelism, apostleship, service, mercy, giving, and hospitality. And here's the point. We all have a job to do. And we're all supposed to carry our weight. But you know what? There's examples of this in the church where there are people that they're not doing what God has called them to do. So God has given them, as believers in Christ, they've given them a spiritual gift and they're not living it out. They're not using that gift. Or there's another problem where because people aren't living out their spiritual gift and there's still jobs that need to be done, there are people that they're not gifted in that area, but they see that there's a need, and so they jump in and they are fulfilling that need, even though that's not where God has placed them and that's not how God has gifted them, because there's an imbalance in the church. And I think there's so many sideline Christians today, all over the place. And they say, you know what, man, they're bragging on their church. Man, I just love my church. My church just does such a great job. They just love people. And look at all the ministry we're doing and all the things we're doing. And I just want to tell them, your church may be doing that, but you're not. You're not at all. I mean, you're just sitting on the sidelines. In fact, I would go as far as say that there are people in your church that are doing something that God has not called them to do because you're not doing your job. You see, the church is full of the overworked. And they're full of the overburdened. And those people are being overlooked by people that are just walking by and say, man, I'm just clapping my church. Way to go, church. The reality is that we're all supposed to carry our weight. We're all supposed to do what God has called us to do. So how in the world do we do this? How do we show that we are in God's family? Well, just one point for today to finish up. If you're in the family of God, then you need to do this. You need to mirror your position with your practices. Think about that. I mean, if you had a mirror in front of you, and what do you see? You see yourself, right? And as believers in Christ, if we look spiritually at ourselves, we take a stock of who we are and what we're doing. The question is, does the position you have, like who you are in Christ, what you believe, what you know, the knowledge that you have, the relationship you have with Christ, your position, is there a mirror effect with your practices? Does it show with the way that you live your life? What you believe, is it shown with the way that you live? And here's some ways that we can do this. And it's just kind of just a recap of some of the things we've talked about today. Here's how you can do this. You can forgive with love. You can forgive with love. And here's how you do this. Man, you got to get your love burning. I think a lot of us, we kind of just go through life with this cold mentality of love. And even Jesus in Matthew chapter 24, he talks about it. He says, hey, I'm warning you guys, if you don't stoke the fire of your love, it's going to grow cold. It's just naturally going to do that. That's just one of the natural things that fire does. And honestly, that's one of the natural things that love does. If you don't stoke that, it's going to grow cold. Man, several weeks ago, my neighbor and I, we burned a bunch of wood, and we had a big fire pit out in the front yard, and we were burning just a ton of wood. And man, it was just taking a long time. And so we had this great idea. We went and got leaf blowers. You know, have you ever done this? You went and got leaf blowers, and we were just like, right? Just full blast, the leaf blowers into this fire. And man, these flames just got huge, and they're just like blowing across the cul-de-sac. And this the flames got like white hot. The reason they got white hot is because they're putting all of that air and all of that oxygen onto that fire. We were stoking that fire. And that's what God wants us to do when it comes to the love that we have for other people, the forgiving kind of love that we're supposed to have. So here's how you can do this. Here's how you can stoke that fire. You can fall in love with Jesus. Man, that's the simplest way that you can have this burning love inside of you, that over and over again, every single day, every single year, you fall in love over and over again with Jesus. And there's some ways you can do that. Man, you can read his words. You can listen to his stories. Man, you can see how he treated other people. The lost, the hurting, the broken. Man, I even want to say the people that hated him, how he treated them. The ones that wanted to kill him, the ones that wanted to silence him, the ones that mocked him and laughed at him. We need to see how he treated them and how he loved them with this forgiving kind of love. And when that love begins to burn inside of you, we have the ability to forgive other people. So here's what maybe you need to do. Maybe some of you in this room, maybe some of you online, you need to forgive some people today. Maybe you need to forgive them in your heart for what they've done to you or what they've done to someone you love. And maybe you need to go to them face to face and say, I'm sorry. I forgive you. I've held this over you and I shouldn't. We need to have this kind of forgiving love. Here's another way we can live this out. We can be vulnerable. Man, this talk about letting people into your life. We need to let people in our lives. Last night, my family and I, we watched the one and only Ivan. It was on Disney Channel, okay? I don't know if you've seen this. Good movie, man. I encourage you, go and watch it. Great family movie. But it's about this circus group of animals, and the main character is this big gorilla. His name's Ivan, and this little tiny elephant becomes part of their family, and the elephant's name is Ruby, and Ruby is scared to go out there, to go past that curtain, to go out into the circus in front of everybody, and Ivan jumps down and just looks at Ruby in the face and says this, just be yourself, right? Just be yourself and get out there. In the middle of Ruby being so afraid and scared of what the people are going to do, what are the people going to think, and not being good enough, Ivan says, man, just get out there. Just get out there and be yourself. And that's what we're supposed to do. Man, we're supposed to show hospitality to one another. And that takes vulnerability. It takes us putting ourselves out there and actually being known by people and actually knowing people. And you may say, well, Clay, man, I just don't have the gift of hospitality. That's just not who I am. And I just like to be alone making up excuses. Man, my life is just crazy right now. And for me to actually bring people into my life or bring people to my house, man, my life is just a wreck. Man, we got the dogs. There are dogs everywhere. We got all these animals. And man, my house is just dirty. And I just wish I could have people over. Well, dang it, clean your house, right? Like, go and clean your house. Take the piles and throw them away. Or hide them in a closet, whatever, okay? I mean, clean your house. Make yourself Put yourself in a position where you can show hospitality because God is commanding us to do that. He wants us to go and to be hospitable to people and to be known by people and to know people. We're supposed to go and build relationships. Man, if you've got a hobby that's just like a solo hobby, it's all about you, it's only you, it's your way time to get away, man, that's fine. But man, maybe you need to find another hobby. Or maybe you need to take that hobby and figure out a way, how can I bring someone else along with me? And you begin to grow in your relationship with people while you're doing the things that you love. I'm going to step on some toes here. Maybe we need to focus on people instead of our devices. Okay? Yeah. And we're done. Okay. No, I mean, think about that. Maybe, man, I wonder how much time we spend on our devices. Maybe on our phones, our iPads, on the TVs, on TV, just on the internet, watching things where we are just pushing people out in our lives. And I'll tell you what, your TV and your phone, they don't care about you, right? They don't care about you at all. And the affection that you show those devices, they don't care. But people care. And people matter. Man, if you were able to just in your neighborhood or maybe in the community we live in, if you're able to go and just cut everybody's roof off and you're able to take a look into everyone's life, I wonder how many people in our community, I wonder how many people just in this congregation, if we looked down at their lives, we would see lonely people who are staring at their TV, right? Man, that hits me hard too, okay? Every time I'm preaching to you, I'm preaching myself because I spend too much time looking at a screen. And those screens don't matter. What matters is people. So maybe we need to get out of our house. Maybe we need to go outside. Maybe we need to go and knock on a door. Maybe we need to clean up all the junk in our lives. Clean up our house and invite people over so that we can be known. And so we can get to know people and have relationships with them. And number three, last thing we can do is this. Maybe you need to identify what your spiritual gift is and then go and bless other people. I've done this many times. I'm sure you guys have done that before. Most of y'all probably know what your spiritual gifts are. Maybe you don't. But I went and did another survey this last week just thinking about this. And I want to see, am I still tracking what I think my spiritual gifts are? And so I went and took this test, real simple, real quick. My dominant spiritual gifts are leadership and administration. That's who I am. And so that was like the top of the chart. That's how God has gifted me. And so, man, I'm trying to live in that role. And way at the bottom was mercy and empathy, okay? Okay. My wife's like, yep, that's you. Like, I mean, if someone's got a problem, like, get over it, right? That's just how I am, okay? So I need some balance in my life. I'm like, God, please give me some empathy and help me shed a tear when someone else is crying. Like, I need that in my life, okay? That's not who I am, okay? But you know what? You may be. And we're all different. And we're all supposed to work together within our spiritual gifting to bless each other and to grow this church and to make much of God in our lives. And so here's one way you can do this. Man, get to know what your spiritual gifts are. And so if you have that app right now, if you're tracking along with the sermon notes, at the very bottom you'll see just a little link and it says take a spiritual gift survey. You can click on that. It's also on our Facebook group right now. If you want to go on Facebook and you can click on that. And there's tons of other spiritual gifts. You just go online and Google it. Man, you can find a spiritual gift test. Go and take that and figure out what you are. How has God gifted you? And when you realize what that is, you got to use it. Figure out a ministry to get involved in. Figure out a way that you can bless other people. I mean, because that's what it means to be in the family of God. You know, I think there's some of us in this room, maybe some people online, that would look at this and say, Clayton, I hear what you're saying about all these things, but so is that how I'm supposed to be in God's family? Well, the reality is no, you got to back up for a second and realize that the way you first get into God's family is by putting your trust in someone other than yourself. Because, man, we're all sinners and we're all messed up and we're talking about laughing about all the faults we have, but we can laugh at those faults because we know that those faults are covered by the blood of Christ. And if you don't have Jesus in your life, man, you're not a part of God's family. I want to give you an opportunity and invite you to be a part of God's family. Man, here in a minute, we're going to dismiss and we're going to have this connection room open. Our pastors will be over there, and they'd love to sit down and talk with you and share with you what it means to give your life to Christ. Because that's the number one decision you can ever make in your life. Before you try to get yourself right and do all these things we've talked about today, man, you need to get right with Jesus. You got to make a decision about him. Man, you might say, well, Clayton, I'm a believer in Christ, but you don't feel like you're a part of a family because you're not a part of a church. I know there's a lot of people in here that have been coming. A lot of people may be watching online that they're like, I've been hearing what you're saying. I feel kind of connected to this church, but you're not a member of this church. You haven't joined a church. Man, I want to invite you. Today is the day. We're talking about being in God's family. Today is the day you need to come and commit to being a part of our family. Begin to serve here. Begin to be known here and begin to love each other here. And so you can go and do that over our connections room. Our pastors will be over there, like I just said. Man, whatever God's calling you to do, I want to encourage you to take a step of faith and do what he's called you to do. Because, man, we are in the family of God. So let's live it out. And here's the best thing. Here's the greatest thing to kind of wrap all this up. When we do that, when we live the way that God has called us to live, verse 11 sums it up. It says this, then everything you do will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. All glory and power to him forever and ever. Amen. Would you stand with me? As we finish up our service today, man, whatever God's calling you to do, I hope and I pray that you would take a step of faith and just make a commitment today. Maybe you do need to go and forgive some people. Maybe you do need to clean up your house and invite people over and be known. Maybe you need to figure out, how do I need to serve? And I've just been sitting on the sidelines as a Christian, as a member of this church. I need to step up and figure out how God has gifted me. Go and take one of those surveys and figure out how God has blessed you, and then go and do that. Because we need to all be together in God's family. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you for today's message, for the gift of your word. And man, I'm amazed every time I open up the scripture and get to see how you're teaching us and you're encouraging us and you're pushing us like a dad pushes their kid that wants the best for them and wants to protect them and grow them. And you're doing that in our lives every time we read it. And so even today, God, you're pushing us, you're encouraging us, you're calling us out to not just believe one thing, but also to do that. So God, help us today to love people with a forgiving kind of love, just like Jesus did for us. Help us, God, to be vulnerable in our lives, to be truly known, to reach out and to build relationships. That's what we're supposed to do. God, help us to figure out how you've gifted us in special and unique ways. Every one of us is important, and when we're not, even one of us isn't doing what God has called us to do, then others have to carry their weight. And the church struggles. So help us, God, to figure out how you've blessed us and how you've called us into ministry, into life, and help us to live that out each and every day. God, we love you. We pray for Central. God, that you would grow us. You grow us in our own relationships and the depth of our personal relationship with you. But God, I pray that you would bring more and more people onto this campus and more people online, that they may be able to hear the good news of Jesus. And God, that we would grow for your glory. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Well, guys, thank you so much for being here this morning. Don't forget, if you are one of the family members or the parents of the kids that are gonna be doing Central Academy, we're gonna have a meeting here in just a moment, so stick around for that. But man, we wanna finish by saying our purpose statement together so we can go from this place on fire for the Lord. So let's say this together. At Central Baptist Church, we exist to live for Christ, to love people, and to make disciples. Thank you guys for being here. See y'all later.